And welcome to another edition of AFL Tonight. This is ArenaFan.com's weekly look at everything arena football. I'm your host, Tim Capper, along with the newly married Adam Markowitz. Welcome back, sir. Welcome back to land. Welcome back to the welcome back to the East Coast. You have been a very busy man.
Yes, I have. I was married on the 23rd. I was on vacation on the 24th. I was home on the 29th. I was on vacation on the 3rd. And I got home on Saturday and was at an arena football game that night.
Yep. But funny, great game for you to come back for, eh?
Yes, it was. It wasn't the best game I've ever seen. It was certainly the best game live I've seen this year. Mm-hmm. The best game I've seen live was still the Arena Bowl last year. But short of the Arena Bowl last year and probably the Arena Bowl, what was it, 2000? So Arena Bowl, what, 14?
Yeah.
Whatever that was, when Orlando beat Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, last second field goal.
Yeah, this was definitely up there. It was certainly in the top five games I've ever seen live, and probably in the top 10 games in AFL history.
It's one of those games I am sad to say I actually missed. So it's, you know, it's tough to go back and watch the thing on Ustream when you know the actual outcome of the game, but.
It had everything. I mean, the game had some defense at the beginning. It had a lot of offense. Had a lot of bad defense too.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of, you know, the big plays. PJ Barry had almost 250 yards, or over 250 yards and five touchdowns. And I think all but one of them were at least 40 yards. He was just getting open on bombs all night long. All sorts of stuff was happening in that game. Tampa Bay recovers two onside kicks in a row. Just stuff that you don't really ever see. And then, you know, every time New Orleans looked like it had that game, Tampa Bay found some way to kind of take it back. And in the end, you know, that one 2-point conversion play, which was the fourth 2-point conversion play of the night.
Right.
For the Storm. They picked that one up and saved their season, and may have screwed the season of somebody in the South at that point.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. It's great to see that these games actually mean something, though. It's, you know, a lot of the games this weekend did. I mean, and we still have a lot of games coming up. I mean, you know,
and a lot of the games this weekend do too.
In fact,
there's only, let's see, one. Two games that mean nothing to anybody?
Yeah.
On the slate? Now, Chicago-Cleveland doesn't mean anything to Chicago and Cleveland, but it does mean something.
Probably one of the best games on the docket is the last game of the week. Utah-Philadelphia.
For all intents and purposes, could be an Arena Bowl preview.
Mm-hmm. So
I don't think so, but it could be.
Some things that we will talk about, obviously, farther down the line in the show, but great to have you back, my friend. Wow, the size is so much. Well, first thing that, you know, with it, the playoffs coming up, the league has started to release some information, Adam, when it comes to what's going to be happening the week of Arena Bowl. They have put out their credentials request out to all media, but also released a schedule of events that are going to be occurring during the, we can't say really Arena Bowl week. Do we dare say Arena Bowl half week?
week is fine,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. But it was, you know, they were promoting it a few weeks back. They were talking about having a concert. Didn't come to fruition.
At least yet.
Yeah, but
you never know. They've pulled sponsors out of their ass at the last minute. Maybe they'll pull a concert out of their ass.
Yeah, it's true. But according to what the league has mentioned, this is what is happening for anybody who's going to attend the Evite Arena Bowl 25 in New Orleans. On Wednesday the 8th from 12 to 2 will be the obligatory media day. That will be happening over at the New Orleans Arena. Then that evening, there will be Joey's Hope Charity Wheelchair Basketball Game. That's going to be from 7 to 9. On Thursday, they're having, I think this is becoming almost an annual event, Adam. I think it's their charity golf invitational. Then their silver anniversary gala. That's going to be happening at the Sheraton Hotel at 6:30. Where they're going to
and everybody will be plastered within 20 minutes of the thing being over with.
Yep. You know, the Players of the Year, Player of the Year awards will be announced, et cetera, et cetera.
Tommy Grady is going to be a busy man that night.
Yes, he should be. He should be. It's, we've seen weirder stuff occur, but yes, he should be. I agree. Then on Friday, there is the Fan Fest for 3 hours from 6:30 to, from 3:30 to 6:30 at the arena. And of note, arena football fans, the championship game kickoff is going to be at 8:30, Eastern. 8:30 Eastern, according to the league media, release.
Yeah, the league basically did kind of the same sort of thing that it did last year with the game in Arizona, pushing it back that half hour for West Coast time. Except this year they've accommodated a little bit better and actually have it at a – yeah, 8:30 is a good time. It's a good prime time slot on the East Coast. It's not too late – or sorry, too early on the West Coast, and it's right, you know, right at a regular 7:30 kickoff time.
Yeah.
You know, in the Central time.
And that's normal, yeah, for Central, remember, for prime time in the Central – It's 8 o'clock and it's 7 o'clock anyways.
Yeah, so this is a very good time slot. Because you really, I mean, they really should. I mean, unless San Antonio gets in there, you're gonna get teams from the Eastern and the Western time zones playing against each other.
I would not be surprised if San Antonio does get there. You're gonna see a lot of fans make the trip. I would not be surprised. Technically, they're just right around the corner. I mean. Technically,
yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I know.
Philly will send its fans, and I say will because I don't think there's any doubt that Philadelphia is going to be in the Arena Bowl this year. I don't know. We'll see. This is the year I'm very interested to see whether this crowd looks more like the San Jose, you know, the San Juan Arena, or whether it looks more like Vegas circa. What, the second year was the year that the crowd looked really good?
I'll give the first year in New Orleans where the crowd looked really good.
The first year in New Orleans, the crowd looked very good as well. Second year in New Orleans, the crowd looked pretty good too, but it wasn't a sellout. Well, if it was a sellout, there were a lot of people that came dressed as empty seats.
Exactly. Another thing that the league had announced today is that if you happen to be a Field Pass subscriber, which neither Adam and I are, they announced some perks, I guess we could say, for the $30 that you paid. You will get special access to the media day. You're going to get to do a history tour with the Dream Team. You will be priority seating at the wheelchair basketball game. Also, you will get special admittance to the Silver Anniversary Gala. And what else is it? A tour of the New Orleans Arena and behind the scenes access to FanFest and the Commissioner's tailgate party on Friday. That's funny, Adam. That's one thing they did not mention on the press release was the Commissioner's tailgate party.
Maybe it's VIPs only.
Usually, isn't it usually?
I don't know. Never been.
I'm
obviously not a VIP.
Yeah, I haven't been one either. So. I know for all intents and purposes, I'm sure everybody knows that Arena Fan will be there covering our butts off, and I am hoping.
We just change our flights.
Yep.
Joe and I will be there on Tuesday night.
Yep. I am hoping to be there also. Don't know when I am scheduled to come in yet, but obviously Adam and I are also hoping to do a couple of get to do a round table if necessary and do a podcast. A couple podcasts.
Yeah, we got plenty to talk about out there. Plenty of time.
Damn straight, man.
I know. I don't drink right now, so no. I mean, I'm not. There'll be plenty of watching Joe get plastered anyway.
Yep. I say first thing we get him is a what do they call them?
Hand grenades.
The hand grenades. That's yep. Right. Hand grenades. Anybody who's not listened to it last week, I really stress that you do because it was a great conversation between myself and AFL Hall of Famer George LaFrance. Sorry, LaFrance. Don't put the French emphasis on it, Tim.
Get your French accent out.
LaFrance. George LaFrance.
go move to the other side of Canada.
Yeah. he mentioned so much last week that I did not even know. You know, we were talking about Adam when it came to the, you know, the labor issues that we've been having this year. He did go through a little bit of them right before his last year in with the Red Dogs in New Jersey. But, you know, a lot of stuff we didn't know about. I mean, Adam, did you know, before this barnstorming season of 89, 88, the league was basically this close to folding. We may have not had an arena football league that we're talking about today. You know, they're complaining about how much they're getting paid now, the players. How would you, Adam, like to, I think it was, what, 4-6 games in the barnstorming season?
Yep.
I'm trying to remember
four games.
Yeah. They got paid $200 a game.
Let's see. Inflation since 1988 has done what?
Yeah.
So $200 per game is actually worth what now?
Yeah.
It's pretty good when the league was on, you know, the verge of extinction that they're making more than they're making now,
mm-hmm.
proportionately.
Crazy. And, I mean, it's a great listen. If you haven't listened to it, it's the podcast from last week. It was obviously our pleasure to Arena Fan to have George on with us. And we hope to – yeah, this is the year of interviews that we've been having. I hope that we can continue this. Only took, what, 12 years?
Yeah.
Only took 12 years to do this, so – I want your opinion on this one here. Arizona, they were talking about some very, very poor, and I'm talking piss poor, refereeing this past week. Besides the great games that we had, some of the great games that we had. Some,
what else is new? Piss poor officiating.
Yeah, piss poor officiating. There were actually 3 Arizona Rattler players tossed this past week versus San Antonio. 3 players. And Coach Guy actually was able to defend his players in the Tucson Citizen and over on, AZ? Oh, I'm trying to remember the site now. Where they have their, you know what I'm talking about, on their...
You're talking about the...
Their news site that they usually have all the stuff
on. Oh, Arizona Live?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But... they were talking about how some of these players just got tossed on the sidelines, clapping their hands and getting tossed for taunting. For taunting.
Yeah, well.
Virgil Gray, Marcus Pittman, and Odie Armstrong were the ones that got tossed. Armstrong and Gray actually came within 30 seconds of each other.
Unfortunately, and sometimes we see this in, you know, in football,
mm-hmm.
Especially in football, you see the referees who think that the fans came to see them.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense to me. A player's got to do something really, really bad to get tossed out of a game, in my opinion, especially when you're talking about a league with, you know, these tiny rosters.
Yeah.
You know, but again, it's a microcosm of the AFL. You know, refereeing sucks. It's ridiculously inconsistent.
Mm-hmm. But
I'm sure if I went back and looked at the box score, I could find guy on San Antonio who jumped off sides 3 times and didn't get ejected.
Well, that's the thing, though. From my understanding, these guys did not get ejected for breaking that rule.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I know. They were actually formally ejected and announced to be ejected. I guess I shouldn't have used ejected for the offsides rule. It's just disqualified.
Yeah, it is. You're right. DQ is a better word. But what's funny we mentioned this is that there are worse things to get ejected for. Same night in the Edmonton game, in CFL Edmonton game, 3 players got ejected on 1 play. All for rough play. And this is where swings.
Were fisticuffs. 75 yards of penalties.
Well, 2 of them offset, so it's one.
Oh, okay.
Remember,
so it was like 25
yards. Remember in the CFL, you get your unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, and to be ejected, it's an extra 10 yards.
15 yards.
Is it 15?
25 total.
It's 25. Yeah, sorry, I think it's 15 and then 10.
Here's this boy teaching the Canadian
ejection
now
is
his
10.
Game work.
Yeah, no, ejection is 10. You're right. So it's 15 for unsportsmanlike, and then 10 for ejection. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean. A lot, but you know, I didn't see much of the game, but I know that I was told that this was probably one of the worst ref games of the year in the AFL.
Nah.
But I'm sure.
Get in line.
Yeah, no,
a lot of people across the country that would be willing to argue that.
Yeah, but it's you don't toss players for ticky-tacky crap. You know, I mean.
And besides, I think the San Jose SaberCats have an argument about the worst ref game in AFL history.
That's true too. Yeah, that's true. I've never seen a ref have an asterisk on his as his number before, at all.
You mean like Bill Lemonnier? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Andy mentioned it a little bit last week. I happened to receive mine this week, and no, it's not really a promotion for the league at all, Adam. But I did win one of their 15th anniversary magazines, commemorative magazines that the league put out through their they had a Twitter contest, and I received it this week. It's not a fact and record book at all. It's very well put together. I mean, I really can't go much through it. I mean, they basically go through the entire history of the league, Adam. And fans' perspective, pictures I won that I've never seen. I mean, remember earlier in the year where we broke that the showcase game was not the date that the league has been going by for the past 25 years is not correct.
Yep.
They actually have a picture from the they have a picture, a color picture from the test game of all things. So I was quite impressed. I mean, Zubaz. You know,
bring it to New Orleans.
Tampa Bay Zubaz. A picture from the Thunderdome. An old school picture from the Thunderdome.
You mean when crowds actually showed up to NFL games in Tampa Bay?
And it's when they had red end zones.
Yep.
Red. And I did not know that. I always thought the end zones were blue.
I remember.
That's a cool setup, though.
I was there. One game I was at, they had those kind of like we're just totally slipped my mind. Those red end zones.
Well, it was Zubaz. It was because of their Zubaz color, right?
Right.
Yeah. They look cool. So, you know, not everything's perfect with it. I think Andy mentioned that too. But not everything's perfect. But it's a great look down history lane for the league. $15, yeah, I think it's worth it.
Take a look at yours in New Orleans.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't think about buying one, I'm sure that they will end up reducing their prices after the season, you know, after the season ends. So, I will give props. I will give props to both Evan and BJ for putting together a good magazine. You got to admit though that I'm sure you remember the old preview magazines, Adam.
Yeah.
A heck of a lot better than the preview magazines. Mind you.
Yeah,
preview magazines were more mainstream.
Six, something like that was the first preview
magazines?
Yeah,
I have a couple of them here at the house somewhere.
The NBC days?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, they had four different covers. How many different covers they got on this one?
One.
No, that's all they should have.
So, a lot to talk about, too. I mean, we had the playoffs coming up. What a coup. First of all, anybody who hasn't read it yet, it was you and who else?
Me and Joe.
Yeah.
And I'll give credit where credit deserves to Tampa Bay Storm's Jim Robinson as well. He helped a lot on that too.
It got a lot, when it went out on Twitter, it got retweeted by everybody from original teams, from the teams themselves. To just regular fans, so it got a lot of social media press, I guess we could say.
Yeah, there was a lot to go through. I'm just happy that New Orleans and Georgia are playing each other this week, although I would still be writing this article.
Yeah. So it did well. I mean, you basically covered everything, and you got it out before the league was able to do it. So, and
I was literally up from the time that I got back from Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Which was about, I don't know, quarter after one in the morning.
Okay.
Till about six, and then we finalized it after I had a few hours of sleep, and me and Joe woke me up and said that I'd screwed up.
Oh, which
and then we got it right. I miscalculated the strength of schedule.
Yeah, the strength of schedule.
Originally, because I forgot that Tampa Bay played Philadelphia twice, and whoever the other team was twice, and Georgia played Spokane twice, and Pittsburgh twice. Well, those two games against Pittsburgh really hurt, huh?
Yeah. No. If anything,
in the end, that's going to be the difference between Georgia getting in and not getting in.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Georgia played Pittsburgh twice. Tampa Bay played Philly twice. You know, Georgia couldn't beat Pittsburgh at home. So, you know, if you can't beat Pittsburgh at home, what's going to happen?
That's true. And you laid out all the different scenarios. So, the games for week 20, you know, Basically, all the teams in the other in the National are set. It's just the American. Or do I have it the other way around?
No, you're good.
Yeah.
But there's a lot on the line.
In
the National Conference. You know, there's a big, big difference between being a 2 seed and hosting one of those other teams and being the 4 seed and going out to San Antonio. Of course, if it's me, the worst seed in the world is 3. I'd much rather be 4 than 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'd much rather go to San Antonio than go to any of Utah or San Jose or Arizona.
Yep. If you haven't read it yet and you are wondering how about your if you're still in the playoff race and you want to know, it is still on the front page. It's one of our Arena Fan originals. It's the 2012 Arena Football League playoff scenarios for week 20.
Bring your Advil.
Yeah. And what was interesting is actually, and we'll talk about this, is your follow-up to the Arena Football 2 year playoff scenarios. And it had in particular to do with Cleveland. And what is it?
And Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh getting left behind.
Shafted.
Yeah, getting left behind. Now, people are saying to me, I can hear them now, and I'm screaming at their computer and getting strange looks from everybody around them. Why are you saying that Pittsburgh is getting screwed? They can possibly look at Cleveland, but why in particular Pittsburgh?
Well, Pittsburgh. I don't know. I think when we go back to that, if we go back and listen to that very first show we did this year, we were all, I don't want to say really high on Pittsburgh, but I think pretty much everybody thought Pittsburgh was at least going to compete this year.
Yeah, I did too.
Not necessarily with Philadelphia, but certainly with Cleveland and Milwaukee and, you know, the likes of Tampa Bay and Georgia and New Orleans and all those teams in the South that, you know,
knowing who their starting quarterback was at the time.
Right. And it's, you know, that not only, and this is why everybody, I just think everybody in Spokane and Chicago that's complaining about the way the playoffs are, Chicago fans have no beef to me because they won an Arena Bowl because of this. You know, they would not have been in the Arena Bowl in 2006 because they would not have been in the playoffs in 2006 had it just been, you know, the best teams in the AFL as opposed to the best teams in each conference that got in. And Spokane, you know, look, they're going to win 10 games this year in all likelihood, and that's all fine and dandy. But, you know, in the end, they should never have had Kyle Rowley a quarterback. Kyle Rowley should have been a member of the Pittsburgh Power, and I drew it out. It's pretty clear. Kyle Rowley is worth at least 7 to 8 points to the Power every single game on average to the crapola that they had. And it might be a lot more than that.
Right.
And if that, you know, if that turned out to be the case, look at how many games Pittsburgh lost this year that were just such close, like heartbreaking games. Mm-hmm. And lately, I could make the argument that Pittsburgh has been the second best team in that conference. They're not Philadelphia, but who else is playing well in that conference now?
I will admit they played very well, and just enough so that it looks like Coach Stingley is possibly going to have his interim title removed, and he's going to be their full time head coach.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a great idea, but because I mean he was a god awful head coach with the Voodoo.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, look, they put Andrico Hines back in there. I mean, you got to remember, it's not just that Rowley left. Rowley left, and then Hines got hurt.
Right.
And after that, that's when the crap hit the fan because they could, you know, they lost Bill Stoll in the interim too, and then they brought in I can't remember the kid's name, who was really bad, but came back and won the game against Orlando. Then they brought in Brian Randall, and now Hines is back. And now finally they've got, you know, they've got, I don't want to say an AFL quarterback, but at least an AFL backup quarterback. And they're winning games. And they killed Georgia last week. Georgia was never, ever in that game. Now, I'm not saying Georgia is, you know, this holier-than-thou team just because they may make the playoffs. But, you know, they're... Pittsburgh is playing well right now, and it wouldn't surprise me if Pittsburgh beat Jacksonville this weekend. Would not surprise me one iota, especially with that game being up in the Steel City. So
It is in Pittsburgh. You're right.
Yeah, I think if you look back at the whole of this season, yeah, you could say Pittsburgh was handed a game against Orlando, and yeah, you could say they were handed a game against Cleveland, and yeah, you could say that Orlando should have never blown that game up in Pittsburgh, which was the biggest collapse in the history of the league, but. Yeah, you know, you look at what the Power have done down the stretch, and you just imagine, wow, if they had Kyle Rowley with this team for the entire year, and they didn't have their entire locker room shaken apart. By the way, they also lost their kicker in that, too, and you see how many extra points they've missed this year.
Mm-hmm.
8 billion. They've been through a Tampa Bay Storm's worth of kickers. You know, they're just – They're a better team than the rest of this crap in the South. And I think they totally, totally got screwed this year. And the beneficiaries were Spokane. So, you know, you take Spokane out of the discussion in the National Conference and you put Pittsburgh in the discussion in the American Conference, all of a sudden the weight about Chicago not getting in the playoffs doesn't seem so good.
Well, it's funny, and you look at the one player in particular we're talking about, Kyle Raleigh, is that if you were to flip-flop exactly where he is right now, it's very possible, because if I'm not mistaken, Spokane also started off very poorly. They got their starting quarterback hurt.
Uh-huh.
They could easily have been in the same – it could be totally reversed.
Yeah, and Spokane – now, granted, Kyle Raleigh has thrown just a ton of picks this year. He's got 23 interceptions and may break the league record, you know, league historical record for most picks in a season in spite of the fact that he's only played 14 games.
He's short. Yeah. Two-way, I think two-way.
Yep, too short a grieve from last year.
Yep.
But, you know, the thing with Spokane, and granted, it was bad luck. They lost Eric Meyer early in the season. But after that, they had Adam Frohman, who was absolutely nothing special. And Spokane probably would have been the team playing the game trying to find some quarterback just to be able to drop back and throw a pass. Like Pittsburgh basically was. You know, maybe we'd be talking about Coach Olsen being fired and Coach Siegfried still having a job.
Right, I know.
So it's all very interesting with how you look at it. I just think it's, you know, if you're Spokane, if you're Chicago, you can't get swept by San Antonio. You can't. It's a division game. You can't get swept in that. You know, and that's the price you pay. You know, you don't win games against teams in your conference, and you don't make the playoffs. We've seen it in the NFL.
Yep.
We've seen it in the NBA. We've seen it in baseball. We've seen it everywhere. And we looked up even in the CFL where they've got a crossover where one team can come from one conference and play in the playoffs of the other. A grand total of two teams in the history of the CFL have ever crossed over and gotten and won even one playoff game.
That's right. Two teams in league history have only been able to advance onto the conference championship. You're right. I think, you know, we talked about this a lot last week, and I had a conversation on Twitter about the exact same thing, somebody from the league with this about the exact same thing. And, you know, I like how, you know, I think it's funny how people bring up the Seattles. You know, yes, they beat the defending champion New Orleans Saints. Okay, that I understand. They were still under 500 and the worst divisional winner in NFL history.
But they won their division.
But they won a division, exactly. I think the crossover is a great idea for the league, but I think, and this is what I think was coming up, is that it still needs to be revised. And you came up with obviously the most perfect idea is to have a balanced schedule.
Yeah, that would be really nice. But what amazes me is even when we had 16 teams, we couldn't get a balanced schedule.
No.
But, you know, I like the idea of finding some. You know, if you can get an 18th team, great. If not, at least find some way to try to make it somewhat fair. It's not going to be perfect with 17 teams, but it's got to be more consistent than Milwaukee playing 8 home games and Jacksonville playing 10. And Milwaukee playing, I think it was something like 13 conference games, and other teams playing 9.
I know.
It's got to be more fair than that.
No, I know. It really did not make any sense. I mean, I don't understand how they cannot get a balanced schedule. I mean, okay, maybe it has something to do with the, you know, with the arena availability and yada, yada, yada. But still.
Well, that shouldn't affect the teams that you're playing against.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the things here.
You know, you figure out how to play 2 games against every team in your division, and it's been that way I'm fairly sure every single year. Short of maybe 88,
mm-hmm.
And even then there were no divisions per se. I think every year there have been divisions or conferences in some sort of division that you've always played your team home and home, home and away.
Usually, yeah.
I think it's always been like that.
Yeah,
I may be wrong, but I think it has always been like that. Short of 88.
It's just that, you know, let's see.
I'm sorry, not 88, 89.
Just looking at. It's in Milwaukee. Yeah, 4-6 in their conference. So it's 10 games in their conference.
Well, and they're playing an 11th, but Philadelphia has already played 14.
Yep.
You know, Kansas City played 12, and Iowa's already played 13, and San Jose played 14.
Even New Orleans did not play a full the same amount of games in their conference. They've only played 11.
So it's all, you know, you've got to find – I understand when you've got, you know, the oddball number of teams that somebody is gonna not have the exact same schedule as everybody else. But, damn, you can't at least get them within one game of each other?
Would be nice.
And why the hell you've got Spokane playing Georgia twice is beyond me.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for that.
I don't understand that. As I said, if they're not in your division, I just don't understand how they're able to come up with a schedule like this. I love to know the variables besides arena availability. I mean,
there are no variables. You know that. They just plug crap together. It should be you play everybody in your division twice, you play everybody in the opposite division in your conference once, and everything else is a crapshoot.
Should be.
That's how it should be, but of course it's not going to be like that.
No.
I remember one year Orlando didn't play. I mean, Orlando went years and years and years without playing Grand Rapids. Years and years. And it always pissed me off because Grand Rapids always have one of the worst teams in the league. Yet Tampa Bay, every single year, traveled to Grand Rapids. Mm-hmm. Every year they traveled to Grand Rapids, it felt like. But there was one year where Orlando, I think it was 2010, where they didn't play a team in their own conference but played three teams from the opposite conference twice.
What?
So this crap has been screwed up forever, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know. I think it just there does need to be a little bit of reflection, we'll put it, on how it is done. And
how about intelligence?
I mean, okay. I can understand that this is the third time in league history where we've had it, where this is going to occur, where a team with a better record than another is not going to make the playoffs. Okay, but it's happened 2 years in a row. I think it's happened 2 years. No, it's 2008. Was it 6-8 in this year? I'm trying to remember. I came up with it last week, and I can't remember what it is now.
Well, you know, the bottom line with this to me, again, you play your conference games.
Yeah.
And when you look at, you know, you look at Chicago, Chicago's 5-6 in conference. That's how they're going to finish because they're playing an out-of-conference game to end the season. Jacksonville in conference is 7-6. New Orleans is 7-4. Georgia 7-5. Tampa Bay 7-7.
Mm-hmm.
That's all better than Chicago. Spokane finished the year 5-7 in conference. Win your conference games. If you win your conference games, you get in your conference's playoffs.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hate to see a better team not get in the playoffs.
Are they a better team?
Record-wise, I mean, you know.
Look, Chicago, if they lose this week, are going to get outscored by their opponents.
Yeah.
And Spokane, if they lose this week, are going to get outscored by their opponents.
As possible.
So are they really that better?
Awesome.
I mean, Jacksonville's outscored their opponents. New Orleans is only -9.
Yeah, and, well, Tampa Bay may make the playoffs, and they will have been outscored by their opponents.
Well, they'll have been crushed by their opponents, and so will Georgia. But, I mean, Cleveland, you know, Cleveland had, with thought for that forfeit, would have outscored its opponents, still might outscore its opponents this year.
That's true.
So, you know, I don't buy it. I just noticed,
by the way, you know what the difference is right now?
I know, that's the 2 points.
The 2 points. That's hilarious. So, yeah, I mean, they can revisit it. We know we're not going to hear anything about it. But if they can just try to get it as close to being a balanced schedule, I think it'll make everything, you know, it'll appease a few others. But as I said, hey, I always said that if you had the crossover, and this is when they expanded, when the league expanded to 18 games, Commissioner Kurz himself said it would keep teams in the playoffs a lot longer, maybe make games more meaningful down the stretch. If the league were to implement some sort of crossover like the Canadian Football League does, it would also do that.
Yeah, but if you had the crossover this year, people would still be complaining. Especially if Tampa Bay wouldn't be able to backdoor in at that point if they lost to Spokane.
Right.
But especially if Spokane ended up with 10 wins and somebody and teams at 9-9 got in.
Well, the other one that would get in right now, if there had been a crossover.
If it was just one crossover, Chicago would be in and Georgia would be out.
Chicago, yeah. So it would actually mean something for the Chicago and Spokane this week.
Well, of course it would have,
yeah.
but those games still have meaning to them.
Good God, could you think of having to do the playoff scenarios if there was a crossover?
It'd probably be easier because Tampa Bay would probably be playing for nothing at that point because Tampa Bay would still lose every single tiebreaker.
That's right, they wouldn't have a chance to win the division, division conference championship, would they?
Well, they still don't have a chance to win the division.
So
the only way Tampa gets in is a 4, so they may as well just be done anyway.
Yeah.
Because they're not going on the road and sticking within 30 of Philadelphia.
I think it'd be interesting. But as I said, well, something that, you know, as I said, it's only been a third year in league history that this has occurred, but still.
I'm okay with it. Everybody else might not be, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah. What was it? One thing I came up with. Oh, yeah. Well, you've already started the thread. It's over in our message boards. You can chime in at any time, as everybody knows. You can chime in there over the message boards. Twitter or Facebook, it's @ArenaFan, or tim.capra@arenafan.com, or adam.markowitz@arenafan.com. But what can I say, Adam? This is, for our 25th anniversary, you cannot ask for more when it comes to shattering, not just breaking of records, but shattering of records.
Well, I mean, it is only the second year which we've played 18 games. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I have done a lot of, you know, a lot of averaging things. You know, so for example, Tommy Grady is not just, beating Chris Grison's record. He is obliterating Chris Grison's record.
Yeah.
And he already, even if he doesn't throw a single touchdown pass this week, averages more touchdowns per game for the season than anyone else in league history.
What is he having?
7.6 per game.
7.6?
Oh, no, that's what he would be at if he had zero.
Wow.
So right now he's averaging, let's see, he's got 137. So he's averaging right now 8.06 touchdowns per game.
He could, if he had a monster game, if he had another game like he had last week, he could, actually, if he broke the record, he would hit 150.
Nah. Okay. I mean, I doubt it, but
yeah, I doubt it too. But I do know that because they're going to be thinking about the playoffs, obviously. But you know, Tommy Grady is also the first quarterback in league history to have more than one game over 10 plus touchdowns in a single season. He has three. I was waiting for him to get that record last week, Adam. I really was. I had everything typed out, ready to go on our social media, and they ran the ball forward one play. I mean, this wasn't the San Jose Spokane game where there was a tiebreaker. So,
yeah,
I was waiting for him to make it.
It'd be nice to see, but you know, look, we've already gotten 12 twice this year. You know what more? What more could you ask for than that?
Oh, I know. Yeah, 12. Yeah, 12 twice. Top of that too. So, yeah. I mean, we have a lot more. I mean, said there are a lot more. What were the other ones that you came up with? So, for those who haven't,
Let's see here. Let me pull it up again. Yeah, Grady's got just a ton of records. The Soul have already broken the record for most points per game. In a season, they have to score 15 points to break that record. Mm-hmm. They're going to be the first team in AFL history to score 1,200 points. The Storm have a chance of breaking the record for most points allowed in league history. Just a ton of passing records. Jesse Schmidt, first guy in AFL history to have at least 150 receptions. I'm sorry, second guy joining Rob Windsor to have at least 150 receptions. In two seasons in his career. Rushing records, Derek Ross obviously owns all the records already. Needs 59 yards this week to break his own record for the most rushing yards in a season. He's going to have more rushing yards in 2 years than the mass majority of players have had in their entire career.
I know.
There's only, I think, three rushers? Let me check that real quick. Player records.
Because I know Dan Alexander had a couple of monster seasons.
Yeah. I mean Derek Ross in 2 years has 1,186 yards on the ground. He's already eighth in AFL history. And he's going to be seventh after this week with two more yards to pass Dan Alexander.
Wow.
He may pass Andre Bowden this week.
That's crazy.
One more year, he's going to be the league leader in rushing yards. All time.
Does that have another monster year?
I mean, yeah, if he plays one more year and gets used the same way, I would assume so. Why not?
And this is him sitting. I think he sat for two games, I think, this year?
Yeah, he sat out a couple road games.
Yeah.
Because he's not a good traveler, apparently.
Yeah, I heard the same thing, too. So.
Interesting to see if he comes to New Orleans.
Oh, I think that'll be a no-brainer.
I think if he does, he's going to be on quarantine.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Because the teams will get in Tuesday, I'm guessing, from what the schedule looks like.
Well, you know, I'm... Yeah, at least I'm assuming that there's not going to be a game on the Monday before the Arena Bowl this year.
No, I would hope not.
Because, you know, media day is at noon on Wednesday, so I don't think you want anybody flying in on Wednesday, so obviously they have to fly in on Tuesday. You can't both fly out and fly in on Tuesday.
I don't think there are those huge issues like we had last year.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. I haven't looked.
I mean, Jacksonville doesn't have baton twirling again scheduled this year, do they? That's what it was last year.
So.
I don't think
so. I'm curious to see what's in the Wells Fargo Arena. But, yeah, keep talking. Go ahead. Yeah.
It's just interesting. I mean, it's I like seeing all these records broken. I mean, it's something that, yeah, I mean, yes, it's more than you know, what most of the other players did it in, but it's, at least we know when it comes to records that Tom McGrady did, we know that they are true records. It's something that he was actually able to break in the same amount of time or shorter than it was.
Than
a lot of the other players.
And it's the same thing with all the records of Solar breaking in terms of scoring. They had the most points scored, the most points scored in any 16 game stretch in AFL history by the end of game 14 and a half.
Yes.
So that's really, really impressive.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, yeah, I don't think it, to me, records are made to be broken, obviously, but I mean, I think when somebody can do it exactly that way. But now, here's a question. For the league awards that are coming up, anybody but Tommy Grady getting the overall MVP and the offensive player of the year, it would be another asterisk.
that'd be a disaster at that point. And his numbers are just so much above and beyond everybody else. There's really no argument. I mean, is anybody going to argue about Dan Radebaugh, maybe? I mean, he's going to throw for almost 5,000 yards and probably about 115 touchdowns, but, I mean, man, Grady's going to set the record for most passing yards in a year, most passing touchdowns in a year, most pass completions in a year, most pass attempts in a year.
Yeah.
It's pretty nuts.
And he would obviously have to have a huge game to become the first AFL player in league history to throw for 6,000 yards. But
well, he'd be the sixth man to do it in major professional football. I don't know whether there's anybody in any of the minor leagues that's done it.
Yeah.
But there's five guys in CFL history that have done it, nobody in the NFL.
Yep.
So, 438 yards? That's 428 yards? Against Philly? It's definitely not out of the question.
No, it's not out of the question. And it's quite feasible considering how good.
How many points they're going to have to score in this game?
Any
doubt this game's going to have at least 150 scored in it if Philly wants to play?
Yeah, considering I mean, sure. Philly could lie down, and Utah obviously would get in, and they would clinch the Western Division. But I don't think Philly's going to lie down. I mean, how long do you, that's the question.
Philly hasn't lied down all, you know, during the last 6 weeks. What makes you think they're going to lie down now?
I mean, the question is, how long do you allow Dan Radebaugh to go? I mean, yes,
you've let him go the whole distance this way.
I mean, yes, there is that possibility of him, you know, of him getting hurt, but.
Sure. You gotta also remember about Radebaugh is when you look at, you know, the quarterbacks that have thrown for the most yards this year and the most touchdowns this year, he's way below pass attempts at all.
I know.
You know, he's thrown the ball 525 times this year, obviously because Derek Ross has run the ball 133 times. And a lot of Philadelphia's passing game is one step and throw. It's the Clint Dolezal offense.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, use your talented wide receivers to create yards for your quarterback. So they don't put him in a lot of situations where he's going to get hurt.
Could it also be that Dan Radebaugh is going to be the first quarterback in AFL history to have possibly 15 wins and not be in the top 20 in passing in league history? Because what does he have right now as far as the total yards for the season?
Oh. For the season,
yeah.
46-78.
Okay, so he'll just make it.
No, he's not averaging together.
Well, no, what I'm saying, Nick Hill right now on 2011, he's the bottom of he's number 20 in our overall, and he had 4,758 yards.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, think of it. We have four players this year who have over 5,000 yards. That's just, it's crazy.
And others that probably will get there. You got Radebaugh might. Actually, Radabaugh is really the only one that might.
Yeah.
Garcia might. Actually, if the Orlando secondary plays as poorly as it has at times, Gino Gadulli might. But I don't think so.
No, the way
Kyle Rowley would have if he played a full 17 games.
Yeah, the way that Milwaukee's playing right now, I don't know.
Well, yeah, like Orlando's playing any better.
Well, you know, it's funny. If we were looking at both of these two games this week, and I'll make the call right now, I would probably pick Orlando to win this one because Milwaukee has just been like playing like total garbage. They can't score. Something has happened.
Predators had 6 first downs going into the fourth quarter last week.
Oh, my God.
You know, they had 9 points on the board at halftime, and when they got this, I think they had 16 right towards the end of the third quarter, and they had 1 offensive touchdown. Predators are bad. Yeah, I do tend to think the Predators are winning that game, too.
Wow. But, yeah, I mean, it's just records galore. We could have an entire show on the records that are going to be broken. But it's just way too many stats for me. I mean, I love stats. I know you love stats too. But I mean, it's just like, no. There's so many different things. You know, something that we could come up at the end of the year when we're at Arena Bowl and come up with the shows for the end of the year and. If we were to look at games so far this year, Adam, any of them besides last week's? I know they said that's probably one of your best games that you've seen. I mean, any others that stand out as being the best games of the year so far?
Well, both of the San Jose Arizona games were great.
The
second one was a phenomenal game.
Yeah.
The Philly Tampa Bay game was a great, great game. The Pittsburgh Orlando game was an exciting game because of the way it went down, but it wasn't really a particularly well played game.
No.
So I don't think I would put that on there, even though team managed to cough up a 30 whatever point lead it was.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that strike me. I'm sure there are others that I'm missing that I didn't see.
It's Spokane and Iowa in week one. It was overtime, 69-63.
Yeah. Yeah,
something about overtime games. I mean,
didn't have the same type of drama that. I mean, that Tampa Bay came back from 17 down last week.
That's
pretty sick.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it really wasn't much of something. What about Philadelphia's scoring run of games averaging? You know, they were over 60 points. How many games in a row? You know, dropping 92 on Georgia. Back in week 5.
And an 83 on Tampa Bay twice.
Yeah. I mean, those, as I said, if you're a Soul fan, it's cool to see all the scoring. I love scoring.
If you're a Tampa Bay fan, you're tired of watching teams score on you.
Exactly.
Your defensive backs are awful.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's scoring, I think, itself this year is, I'm trying to head to it right now, yearly stats.
Scoring almost has to be up.
Scoring is up 1.8 points. 1.8.
It's a lot.
Yeah, 1.8 points.
And the other thing that Tampa Bay game had is it had storylines. It saved Tampa Bay's season. They were eliminated if they didn't win that game. Coach Markham was sitting there on the sidelines pulling his hair out, wearing a black shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pat O'Hara, former Tampa Bay quarterback, former Tampa Bay assistant coach, sitting there trying to get his team in the playoffs for the second time. Can you believe the voodoo have only been in the playoffs once in their history?
I know.
Tons of storylines.
And that was before Katrina, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, that was their expansion year, 2004. Yep.
So.
And they got beat by Colorado.
So it's, you know, I'll have to really go through the games and we can talk about them at the end of the day. I think you and I can both. I think there are probably 2 games in our mind, or 3, that we could consider the worst games of the year.
2-0.
But I still think that was an embarrassment, but I still think it would all start off with
the worst game of the year.
Yep. Is that one there. So
yeah, there's zero doubt. That was the low point of the AFL season. Now, there have been some other bad games. None as bad as that.
No. But, yeah.
You know, I wonder how those scab teams would have fared against Kansas City. Kansas City with Matt Gutierrez, the future of the AFL, like under center.
You know, considering the how basically thrown together the teams were for the first game, I would not be surprised if Kansas City, you know, feared
somebody.
Yeah, it had to, they had to have. I mean, it's no. I remember how bad it was. Hell, remember it? You had an NFL Network commentator didn't show who basically said he's done.
Yep. But he showed up, and showed up in Orlando later.
I know. So, I guess they're like, well, Shedrick Bonner can't make it. Kurt Warner's busy. So, yeah. It is a lot to digest before. I mean, next week's going to be very interesting, too, when we talk about the playoffs for the first week. I mean, we know there are two games already scheduled. We know the game in San Antonio is going to be the game on the NFL Network. That's already a given, and the game next Saturday also is a given at Philadelphia. It's just the other games, but those will be decided this week. So, let me see here. I know there's something I was going to talk about, and I just totally forgot what it was. Maybe I'll remember. I don't remember.
When was the last time a team won a division 3 straight years? I know no team has ever come out of the blocks 3 straight years and won 3 straight division titles.
Western Division? I think it would have to be in the Western Division.
I don't know, because San Jose and Arizona went back and forth a lot. L.A. won it 1 year, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Spokane won it in 2010. So, interesting, but Jacksonville could do it.
Let me see. Nope.
Maybe Dallas. Maybe Dallas from the old East.
Oh yeah, the years where their record was fantastic, but the playoffs were just not very good.
Yeah, the Will McClay era. The I can't count to four downs era.
Yeah. Oh god, I remember that game. Let's see. It wasn't 2010, 2008. Dallas did not win it in 2008. Philadelphia did.
Well, Philadelphia won the Arena Bowl that year. And Philadelphia hosted all the games.
Yep. So it was a team winning the division how many years? It was like three?
Three. Yeah, because this would be Jacksonville's third if they could beat Pittsburgh or get some help. No, just beat Pittsburgh.
Technically, Philadelphia has won two in a row, if you think about it.
Nah.
Technically.
Nah.
You want to go with that? You want to go that route?
No, really don't. But whatever. We could look that up off air.
Dallas in 07. You got me looking it up already. Dallas in 07. Dallas in 06.
Probably Dallas in 05, too.
Nope.
No.
The New York Dragons in 05. Was it 05 or 04 they didn't make the playoffs after winning the division? It was 04.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, speaking of bad play, see, that was where they were trying to give the best of both worlds and just totally failed. Not giving a, anyways. Yeah. Let me see here. Oh.
Next topic?
Yeah, I'm trying to think one, man. I had something in my head and it just totally went. It's one of those things where I just had a total brain freeze.
So, shall we go to the games this week?
Let's go to the games this week then. Let's go to the games. It is, as we mentioned before, it is, you know, week 20. You know, you usually think, everything's already settled. Nope. You know, I guess switching to 18 games did actually mean a heck of a lot and made a lot of difference. A lot of different scenarios. We'll start with the only single game on Friday on the NFL Network, the game of the week. Jacksonville travels to Pittsburgh.
And it's going to be an important one.
Yep.
So Jacksonville wins this game, they win the South. They lose this game, they're going on the road. It'd be the first road playoff game in franchise history, huh?
Considering...
Oh, no, duh, the Arena Bowl.
Well,
no, it's a legitimate road
legit,
game.
Legit, okay. Yeah, it's true.
It was at Arizona.
Not a neutral site, you are correct.
Yeah, so correct. So I guess they're first in conference play in team history. So, I like Pittsburgh in this game. I don't know, I just like the way Pittsburgh's been playing. I think Jacksonville's just been doing, you know, kind of what it's had to do and no more. It's also the return of Bernard Morris.
Wow.
if you want to think about it that way.
I know.
But I look at Jacksonville, and I see of late, You know, Pittsburgh is an impressive game this team played.
Pittsburgh is a lot better.
They beat Milwaukee.
Pittsburgh is a lot better, I will admit. I mean,
I think Pittsburgh's the second best team in this conference right now, and I think Pittsburgh's going to win this game. I'm actually a little surprised that Pittsburgh is a 6-point underdog to open up this one. I think Pittsburgh's going to win this game.
I know our fans, by the way, and our spread picker are favoring Jacksonville by 4. These two teams have played before, by the way, Adam. They played back in 2011, where Jacksonville won at Pittsburgh by 25 points.
And they'll beat everybody that year seemingly by 25 points.
Yeah. I will admit Pittsburgh is a better team as of late. I mean, they just had a few brain cramps where they, you know.
Pittsburgh's a touchdown underdog.
So it's I don't know. A lot is on the line. A lot would have to happen, I think, for Jacksonville to totally botch this one.
Oh, I think they are totally botching this one. Yeah. I think they're going to get killed in this game. This game reeks just like that Georgia game against Pittsburgh did last week.
Yeah. Pittsburgh has something to prove. You know, last home game of the season, of the worst year.
Playoff team coming to town.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
They have not, have they beaten a playoff team this year? Orlando, Cleveland, Georgia, and who was their other game that they won? They beat Iowa. So, no, they have not beaten a guaranteed playoff team this year.
They haven't. So, I don't know. For me, I'm probably going to go Jacksonville this one. I understand where you're coming from, too, but I think if the stars align, yes, Pittsburgh will win this one, hands down. I think it's just, you know, I think Jacksonville, I'm hoping that they aren't looking ahead. If they're looking ahead, yeah, this one's going to be done. But I'm gonna go with Jacksonville a little bit on this one. Saturday, early game, Chicago at Cleveland.
Thank God this is not the last game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Georgia and Tampa Bay would like to watch this game, knowing that Cleveland and Chicago held their destiny for getting into the playoffs. Cleveland wins. Tampa Bay's in a lot of trouble. Cleveland loses. Georgia's in a lot of trouble. So I don't know. Chicago on the road, not exactly an appealing spot, especially with Luke Drone at quarterback. But this is Cleveland, and Cleveland has given up on the season. So I guess by default you take Chicago.
Well,
I guess.
Considering that they benched John Dutton last week,
deservedly so. Of course, I hate the fact that Matt Bousner has a job now.
Yeah, Bessiner.
He's the clown that was behind all that.
Bessiner.
Yeah, whatever.
I learned that one all earlier this year. I wanted to make sure I got it correct. Cleveland's given up. I agree with you on this one. I think
this game's going to be bad. Yeah, Chicago's favored by 3.5 for anybody that cares.
Hey, if Gray has another monster game like he did last week.
Yeah, he was all over the place.
Georgia, New Orleans. A huge game. Considering they will already know what the outcome is of the game on Friday night for Jacksonville.
And for Georgia, Georgia will know the outcome of the game with Cleveland.
That's right.
So Georgia actually could they couldn't know they're in the playoffs because they could still lose out on record. But they could be in – they're obviously in very, very good shape if Cleveland wins. If Cleveland loses, though, they have to beat New Orleans or they are eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
And New Orleans may ultimately think the same thing, but at least New Orleans could still backdoor in if Tampa Bay loses. The Voodoo were the better team last week against Tampa Bay. They deserve the game. They've got a great defense. And now that I've seen him play, Alvin Ray Jackson is one of the best, is one of the best defensive players in this league. And in my opinion, it would be a total disgrace if he didn't win Defensive Player of the Year this year. I don't think he's going to, but he should.
And then Joshua Bush too on offense.
And Bush is all over the place. And this is a talented New Orleans team.
It is.
Rocco is hurt, and you could see that he's hurt, but he's gritting through it. Georgia's got nothing on offense.
No.
Absolutely nothing whatsoever.
No.
New Orleans this is their third chance to get in the playoffs. They could have done it at San Jose. They could have done it at Tampa Bay. They're going to get it done here. They're going to get it done.
Oh, I think so, too.
Relatively easily.
I mean, unlike last year, they actually have a quarterback who can actually play quite well.
And if Jacksonville loses, this game's for the division title.
That's right.
Georgia could know it's either outhouse or penthouse.
No, I mean, you know, Kurt Rocco didn't have that good of a game versus when they were out playing in San Jose, but you know,
he got hurt in that game. That's a nasty San Jose defense.
Mm-hmm.
That we're talking about with a really good defensive line. This is a big difference here. Georgia's only scored 757 points this year. That is easily the worst in the league. They're not getting to 40, and if they don't get to 40, they're getting blown out of the building.
And by the way, I know that, as I said, it's all about trends and stuff like that. Kurt Rocco has had three 9 touchdown passing games this year, and two of the third being obviously last week. The game following his 9, both games this year he has thrown 5 the next game.
5 might be enough.
5 might be enough.
5 really might be enough. Have you seen Georgia play lately?
Yeah, I know. I know. It's
Brian Montez is terrible.
For
a team
that still doesn't have you know, the names in their end zones.
I mean, that team, Bryant Menez was throwing more freaking touchdown passes with the Hawaii Warriors in college than he is now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's bad.
Yep. San Antonio travels to Iowa.
One of the games that means absolutely nothing to anybody this week.
The only thing I guess we could say is San Antonio is trying to extend their winning streak. I'm going to say this now, to see even more how much of a collapse that they could have in the playoffs. Won't matter. I don't think they'll match the Dallas Desperados collapse, but I think it's the third week I've said it. I'm not impressed by their record in any way, shape, or form.
Neither am I.
Anyway,
I'm impressed with 2 wins against Chicago. And I'm impressed with the win against Arizona.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed with the win against Arizona.
Yeah.
The rest of it, though, eh.
Yeah, San Antonio beat Iowa earlier this year 57-35. So
it looks like a revenge game. It smells like a revenge game. I don't know. If Iowa wants to win this game, I guess it will. If San Antonio's defensive line is laughing too hard at Iowa's offensive line to actually remember they have to go sack the passer,
yeah.
I would say Iowa could win this game.
I would say San Antonio for this one.
So I don't know. I would take the points gun to my head, even though there's no way in hell I'm betting on this game.
Tampa Bay returns to the scene of Arena Bowl 23. Spokane heading to Spokane.
Now they won last year. They did find a way to come out west and win last year. Mm-hmm. At this time, the good news is they're traveling this year on Thursday, which at least gives them one full day in yeah. Spokane to get used to it. It's a long flight. I happen to know what the travel schedule is, and it's not pretty getting up to Spokane from Tampa Bay.
No.
Not at all. They definitely took the least direct but least expensive way to get there.
Okay.
And no, they're not bussing.
that would be interesting.
The good news that I'll say for the Storm in this one is they'll know by halftime whether they have to play the second half or not. Georgia loses, Cleveland loses, then Tampa Bay's in the playoffs at 8-10. Well, 8-9 plus or minus whatever they end up doing.
Yeah.
On Saturday, I don't know. Spokane just feels like this is a game they want to come out and beat the crap out of somebody. I think Rowley wants to go out a winner this year and set himself up to. You know, get a job again next year with a team that, you know, hopefully for his sake is more competitive and more I shouldn't say more competitive because Spokane was competitive all year, but you know, more likely to get in the playoffs and have a chance to challenge for another championship. And I just don't see Tampa Bay's defense being able to stop Rowley, to be honest with you. I mean, sure, maybe they get a pick or two, but they're not stopping anything else. And Steve Wassel's not going to be able to keep up. So I'd be interested to see what happens if all of a sudden at halftime in this game word has come out that Georgia and Cleveland have both lost. I think in the end, in the second half, Spokane's going to want to play this game and absolutely just kick the crap out of Tampa Bay.
I do too, and also considering that it's a total reverse from what Tampa Bay is at home versus to what they are on the road. I mean, remember, they are 1-7. And
Spokane's a pick'em in this game.
Wow.
Pick'em. Some of these lines this week, I don't understand.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you look at the overall, I think it's Spokane. Yeah, looking at the defense, I don't know. I know Tampa Bay has what is it? They've been outscored by almost 100 points. Spokane has only 5 extra points. I mean, they are all basically a 5, and, you know. But they're also well, they're only 4-4 at home, so.
Well, I mean, they've also had to play, you know.
It's true. Utah, Arizona, San Jose. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, you know, this is not an easy schedule that they've had to play all year.
No. But, you know, I agree with you. I think Spokane.
By a lot.
Yeah, Spokane, I think there's no there's no question. The next game of the night is Kansas City, Arizona. Now, the question is here. Obviously, Arizona is going to be playing all their starters.
Yes.
They have to because they are not in the driver's seat right now.
Yes, Arizona knows it has to win and get lucky. And if it loses, it knows it's going on the road. So that's not good if you're the Rattlers. You definitely do not want to be booking a trip to either San Antonio or to Utah or to San Jose, for that matter. You really don't want to run into any of those teams on the road. You're not excited about the return of Matt Gutierrez to Arizona?
Well, I heard at one point he was supposed to be the future of the AFL.
Yeah, I've heard that somewhere before, and I think he's completed about 6 passes since then against like 12 picks. this is – Kansas City showed a pulse last week against Spokane. I don't see it showing a pulse this week against Arizona on the road.
I got a question for you. Is this going to be Denton Bardo's last game as head coach?
This is
going to
be the last time we ever hear the name Denton Bardo.
Ever.
He will not coordinate in this league. He will not be a head coach in this league. We will see him in the AFDL.
Yes. Arizona does lead the overall series. They did beat Kansas City handily back in March, 56-28.
And that sounds about right.
That sounds about right. So, but 2 games on Sunday. I think this was the other one that really didn't make any difference. Milwaukee goes to Orlando. Wow, what's with the 2 p.m. start?
I have no idea what is up with the 2 p.m. start in Orlando.
Is there anything going on Friday at the Amway?
I have no earthly idea. I don't know. Milwaukee's favored in this game. I don't know why Milwaukee's favored in this game, but yeah, Milwaukee's favored in this game.
The way Milwaukee's been playing as of late, I don't understand how they're – I mean, yeah, they played –
This game's going to suck. This game is going to be so bad. This is not going to be anything like the last time a team named Milwaukee came to Orlando.
No.
The Iron came to Orlando, and Bobby Scipio made me look like an idiot.
I mean, look at this. Milwaukee, the last couple games. Okay, last week they dropped 54. Week before, they only scored 32. Week before that, 32.
By the way, that was 54, and I think I had 2 special teams touchdowns, yeah, and defensive touchdowns. Yeah.
Before that, 37.
Yeah, that's bad. And you know what? It's not that they're bad. It's that they
– something's happened.
I watched that team get beaten up physically.
Something has
in
happened
Tampa
to this
Bay,
team.
And they never recovered.
Yeah, something has happened to this team. It's just not
– they're injuries. Yeah. They're absolutely injuries happened to this team. Yeah. Wide receivers are all kind of patchwork because they all got hurt in Tampa Bay. The offensive line was never the same without Adam Tadish.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what killed this Milwaukee team. And Orlando at times has played with a pulse. I don't know. Last home game of the year, even though it's a freaking 2 p.m. on a Sunday, I'm still really debating whether I want to go to this shit fest.
Hey, at least you know you'll get home before midnight.
Still have to go to work the next day. It's still a Sunday.
That's true, too. But I think this is the game, and you know what, Adam? The best saved for last, obviously. Utah traveling to Philadelphia.
Division title on the line for Utah. They know they're not winning it. If they don't win this game, they know they're going on the road. So you got a choice. You win at Philly, or you got to win 2 games on the road in all likelihood to get to the Arena Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So this is as big – this is the real deal for Utah. This is – you know, there is no turning back here. You know, Grady's going to have a massive, massive game. To win this one, because Philly, I mean, unless all of a sudden Adam DeMichelle ends up coming in and all those talented wide receivers, even without Tiger Jones, end up just totally collapsing, I don't see how Philly's not scoring points. That being said, Philly's been beatable at home this year.
Yeah.
You know, Cleveland beat them back when Cleveland had a pulse, back when Cleveland looked good. So I can see Utah winning this game. I really could.
This is only, would you believe, Adam, in the history, this is only the second time that these two teams have met.
Okay.
Last time, April 5th, 2008.
There were probably a lot of points scored in that game, too.
Final score was 64-56.
Yep, that was back when 120 points was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was back, I guess it was, what, Joe Germain against, well, either D'Orazio or Graziani, depending upon which, you know, what time of year it was.
Joe Germain Graziani versus Matt D'Orazio.
Oh, Matt D'Orazio already? Okay.
Yeah, Matt D'Orazio already. So
Those guys aren't playing in this league anymore.
Nope. Oh, wow. One person that was playing for Utah, who is, by the way, which I happen to forget before, who is going to be playing his final game in his AFL career, is Rodney Filer.
Oh.
Yeah. It's going to be his final game this week for Iowa.
Okay.
Final game in his history. In his career, rather.
Sounded bad. I'll take him for two touchdowns, then.
Yeah. Get him something. Get him a rushing touchdown for Iowa. But yeah, what?
He and Coach Hogan go out together.
This could be a great game, and it's funny. Our guys are showing it that they have Utah favored at half a point. This is going to be a great game.
Assuming Philly goes for it, and we have no reason to believe that Philly won't go for it because mm-hmm. that's how they've been playing all, you know. This whole time. And they're just coming off a bye week. Let's remember that, too.
That, too.
So, you know, I don't see any way that Coach Plank is going to want these guys to sit. I mean, maybe if the game becomes a, you know, a two-score game, a three-score game, either way, they let – or maybe they design it so the last couple drives, you know, regardless of what the situation is, they want D. Michelle in there just to make sure he gets some reps. But I don't see this being an out-and-out tank by Philadelphia, but I still think this is a game Utah is going to be able to come on the road and win.
I do, too. By the way, just for Grady, his two other games that he passed for over 10 touchdowns per game, his following games ended up having 8 touchdowns and 9 touchdowns each.
Feels like he's been 8 or 9 touchdowns every single game this year.
Yeah, I know. He's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 3. He has had 3, 9 games, 8 8 games.
Not bad.
5
games at least.
5, 7 games.
That's 14 out of 17. So mm-hmm. 3 games with mm-hmm. less than 7 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
First 2 weeks, actually.
So since how many touchdowns did he have in the first 2 games?
Grand total of 11.
So he's had 126 touchdown passes in his last 15 games.
Mm-hmm.
That's 8.4 per game. I'm not going to say you'll never see that again because I don't know what this league is going to produce in the future, but I don't see that happening anytime
People were talking about, you know, the Chris Grierson record of 117 not being able to be broken.
We didn't know there was going to be 18 games.
No,
but
it's true, too. But you know what? But remember, Grady broke it, as we mentioned before. Grady broke it.
15.
Yeah. I do not see this record being beaten. I really don't. I really don't, because, you know, for a guy who's been able to average what he has, to have this many, to have only 2 games of less than 7, you know?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you never know what this league is going to turn around and put out.
No. No.
I'll go the fair route. I mean, obviously, if there are 25 games in a season, you're going to see that record shattered.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I would say over an 18-game season, I would deem it to be possible that, you know, that 144, 45, or whatever he's going to end at could be broken. It's going to take a lot, though. It's going to take a whole hell of a lot.
This is going to be a great game, I will admit. And you know what?
Eventually, some team is going to get smart and just decide they're going to onside kick every single freaking time they kick off,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll see somebody end the year with like 180 touchdown passes.
Yeah, I know. And he'll have probably the least amount of yards in league history.
No, we'll probably have the most amount of yards in league history because his team's going to be onside kicking, not the other team.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I thought it was going – yeah, you're right. You're right. I didn't think about that.
But, no, if you had that situation – I was joking with somebody in Tampa Bay when they were playing Philly, since Tampa Bay's DBs can't cover anybody for more than 5 yards.
Yeah.
I was joking. You know, if you onside kick every time, not only may you see the league's first 143 to 142 game, but you may also see have a team have more points than yards.
Oh, man, that would be well, that happened already this year.
I was going to say, we've seen some situations where teams have had, you know, more points than
we've seen more points than yards. We've seen more points than yards this year.
Yeah, 2.
Yeah. But now, you know what? I'm gonna give Utah. They got a lot riding on this, and I'm gonna give Utah the benefit of the doubt on this one. Should be a great game, though.
Yep.
It just depends on I think on how far Radabaugh plays. I really think if he only plays a half, Utah, I think, will win this game.
Well, of course, Utah's going to win this game if he only plays a half. Yeah. But then again, you know, maybe not. Maybe Adam DeMichel is lightning in a bottle. I don't know. We'll find out, though.
I don't know. Let's see. I think that is it. Don't see anything else I think we can quickly mention here. Nope. Oh, well, I mean, it's something we'll talk about in coming weeks, and we've mentioned it before, so it's... Keep an eye on the league's top 25 players. Adam and I already have we've had issues already with this.
We're already rolling our eyes.
Yeah, we're already rolling our eyes. I'm curious to see who's going to be announced as the was it number 8 this week? Is number 7 somebody this week? I can't remember.
Wasn't Bonner 7? Maybe it hasn't been announced, and I know that and shouldn't have said that.
No.
I don't remember. I think that's what I remember hearing. He's a Bonner 7.
Here we go. Awards. Awards for top 25. Top 25 players out of all time, even though they were ranked totally different. Bonner was 7, so whoever's going to be 6 this week, I'm curious. Because it's already way off, and it's, you know...
Still two quarterbacks that are going to be in the top 6, and Bonner was number 1?
Yeah.
Lewis, yeah.
So, why?
You don't think Jake Rudin made it this far because of all the tackles that he made, huh?
Yeah. I think they're giving it to him because of the Zubaz. So, you know, anybody who has to wear Zubaz, you know... Has to be up high. So, yeah. Before we go, any last words, sir?
Yeah, normally, I have like a witty conversation about like some other sport that's going on, but I don't know what's going. Oh, I can talk about Dwight Howard. He'll be a Houston Rocket by the next time that we're on this podcast.
Oh, so both him and Jeremy Lin are playing together.
That's just my guess. I'm speculating like everybody else in the city of Orlando is.
So much for him staying, right?
Oh, no, he's not staying. The training camp will not start with Dwight Howard as a member of the Magic.
Interesting. Huh. I've been keeping up with it. Who's the one that just had the car accident? Somebody just wrecked his SUV.
No idea.
Whatever. It's basketball. Enjoy the games this week, everybody. It's, 1 week to go to the playoffs. It should be very interesting to see. I mean, if any week that you are able to watch arena football, this would be the week. Catch the games all you can on Nifty, or if you happen to be able to get them on your local TV, go ahead and do so. If not, join us in the Arena Fan chat room. We should be there and talking about what's happening this week. So for everybody here at AFL Tonight, for Adam Markowitz, I'm Tim Capper. Watch the rebound off the net.